From KCRW in Santa Monica, I'm Claude Brodesser-Ackner, and this is The Business.
So you still want to do the show business, and you think that you got what it takes? I mean, you really got to rap and be all that, but prepare yourself for the breaks. Check it out.
This week on The Business, there's been a mad game of musical chairs in the agency business in the last few weeks. The agency business may be changing, but the relationship between agents and clients seems as quirky as it ever was. We'll schmooze about that relationship with producer Marty Edelstein. He helped found the Endeavor Agency. But first, it's the Hollywood News Caravan. Go nowhere, it's The Business from NPR. We reported last week that the Screen Actors Guild was to consider whether certain guild members should be excluded from voting on their upcoming new contract. From what we can tell, they began negotiations with Hollywood's networks and studios last Tuesday without resolving that question. In another update, on last week's program, we talked to attorney Bob Bernhoft, who successfully defended actor Wesley Snipes against charges of tax fraud and conspiracy. Cleared of the felony charges, it seems Snipes had not only evaded paying taxes, but doing jail time. Or maybe not. Snipes was convicted of misdemeanor willful failure to file tax returns. And it seems that prosecutors aren't giving up on getting him behind bars on those lesser charges. In addition to the back taxes and a $5 million fine, they're also seeking a 3-year sentence. Elsewhere, in a surprise move, Blockbuster Video has offered $1 billion to buy Circuit City, the ailing electronics retailer. Blockbuster says it wants to buy Circuit City to exploit what it calls the, quote, growing convergence of media content and electronic devices, unquote. Just how Blockbuster plans to do that is anybody's guess, and Wall Street seemed confounded. Blockbuster's stock sank a whopping 15% last week. In another seeming example of this convergence, hair metal rockers Motley Crue announced they will release their new single, Saints of Los Angeles, via the video game Rock Band. Not to be outdone, British hard rock act Def Leppard will release their new single, Nine Lives, through the rival Activision title Guitar Hero, a week before it becomes available to the general public. In other content technology convergence news, Rod Stewart has announced that he'll release his new single through a pacemaker made by Medtronic. Meanwhile, we've heard it said that the movie business can be a hell of a roller coaster ride, and that's never been more true than now. While Six Flags announced last week that it's canceling plans to make a $7 million Batman roller coaster, everyone else seems to be getting on board and strapping in. Over at Universal Studios, The Simpsons ride opens on May 17th and also debuts next month at Universal Studios Florida. Last month, Nickelodeon opened the 7-acre Nickelodeon Universe at the Mall of America in Pennsylvania, with 24 Nick-themed rides. And Hard Rock Cafe opened Hard Rock Park in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina last week, featuring Led Zeppelin The Ride, a 155-foot-high roller coaster with 6 loops. Finally, we're not big on movie criticism or aesthetics around here, but the headline on this week's AP review of Sony TriStar's new Al Pacino movie is just too good to resist quoting. Says the AP's David Germain, 88 minutes is 107 minutes too long. And that's the Hollywood News Caravan. Coming up next, actors, writers, and directors are people who need people. If there's a visible symbol of Hollywood power, it would have to be what's called the Death Star, that gleaming $280 million glass complex that houses the headquarters of the Creative Artists Agency. It's a place that is meant to impress, if not intimidate, and to, not so subtly, convey a message of unimaginable power and boundless wealth. But show business is changing, and the business of representation is not exempt. The agent and client defections of the past few weeks are just symptomatic of what Variety has called a seismic shift in the agency business. The agile and hungry Endeavor Agency took Robert De Niro from CAA and Topher Grace from the venerable William Morris Agency. UTA agent Nick Stevens moved to Endeavor as well, taking fellow agents Sharon Scheinwald and Lisa Hallerman and clients like Ben Stiller with him. And Endeavor also lost a couple of earners, as they say. Ashton Kutcher went to CAA and Chris Rock returned to ICM. Despite the revolving door of talent, the very special relationship between agent and client remains immutable. The reasons a writer, director, or actor chooses an agent and stays with them is a subject worthy of a doctoral thesis in behavioral psychology. Marty Edelstein hasn't written that thesis, but he could. He was an agent at CAA at the right hand of Michael Ovitz, when he left to help found Endeavor in 1995. 8 years later, he left to become a manager. And nowadays, he's primarily a TV producer of shows like Prison Break on Fox. Marty Edelstein, welcome to the business.
Thank you.
How does someone even choose an agent?
You know, usually it's a mix. I mean, sometimes in the beginning, someone's just lucky to have an agent and they take who they can get. But usually a relationship develops and the agent's style either mirrors the client's style or is exactly the opposite. So sometimes they look for exactly the opposite in what their personality is in their agent. If they're passive, then they look for a very aggressive agent. It really is all over the place.
And if I'm a hothead, I look for someone who can...
who may calm me down a lot,
mm-hmm.
which is a role I played a lot.
Why do they stay? I mean, is that sort of balance the key to it?
Yeah, I think if they find somebody that fits and somebody that makes them comfortable that can do their bidding in a way they want it done, then they tend to stay. Once questions...
In the way that they want it done. That's
yeah.
Interesting.
Well, everybody has their own sort of personal style. Some people want to leave nothing on the table. Other people want to be perceived as a good guy, you know. It just depends on what their personality is.
Why do you get fired?
That's interesting. It's different now. I mean, the relationships when I started, when I, you know, until I quit, they were much longer lasting. Most of my clients, you know, I had 10, 15, 20-year relationships with now. But there's such uncertainty. The deals are so much shorter and so much less than they used to be that people are very uncertain and very, you know, they're very unsure of what their future is going to be. And it's easier to blame someone else than themselves, i.e. The agent.
Yeah. For instance, I'm curious what happens when the agent leaves you. I mean, what happens to those clients? Like, for instance, United Talent Agency, one of their big partners, just walked away and became the head of HBO Films, Sue Nagel. What happens when your agent leaves you?
It becomes a feeding frenzy.
walk me through all that. What happens?
Well, it's interesting. What happens is usually word gets out beforehand. So every agent in town starts to try to get into second position, to get into position to
– Well, how does word get out beforehand?
There's no secrets in Hollywood. I mean, the minute she took the interview for that job, everybody knew about it. I mean, there's just no secrets.
You know, because everybody knows everybody.
Well, there's assistants who send out emails to other people around town. I mean, literally something happens and you know at an agency or at a studio and within 20 minutes it's either on the internet or it's emailed to somebody.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned a term before. I want to get back to it really quick. You said you have to be in second position. First of all, explain what that means.
Well, second position is to sort of get close to somebody who you think might leave their agent at a point certain, and you stay in there, so you become the natural alternative to the agent there.
Well, how does that work? I mean, that just sounds it sounds a little creepy, actually.
Well, like, it can be creepy. I mean, it can be, you know, it's really sort of staying behind and pointing out all the difficulties that they're having with their agent, what their agent is doing and not doing right, and it's.
How do you point that out?
I'll give you an example. One year I wanted to sign the WWF.
The World Wrestling Federation.
Right.
Now World Wrestling Entertainment.
Entertainment, right.
Yeah.
And I thought, that's a big business. And all I wanted to do was get in a meeting with Vince McMahon. And I made a list of 10 things that I would do for them. And I basically got in a room with him and I said, it took me 3 months to get in a room with him, took a breakfast with me. I said, thank you for taking the breakfast. I read the list of 10. I said, look, your agency may be doing this. These are the things I would do with you. He looked at me and said, they're doing none of this. Could you fly to Connecticut tomorrow and meet with my board? I want to hire you. Now, that's the quick version of being in second position. That just happened to be. But there are times, you know, there was one director I chased for 3 years. I would fly to New York to go see the WWF in Connecticut, and then I'd drive to his house in the Hamptons. Every 3 weeks, I would just show up there.
Hi, it's me.
It's me. You know, where's your agent? What's he doing for you?
I noticed that your agent is not on your front lawn.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it can come down to that.
Tell me the answering machine story.
This was during the whole Michael Bay days where...
Now, Michael Bay was and still is a very big director
right.
of movies like Transformers and Con Air and you name it.
Right. And Michael Bay at that point wanted to get into a lot of the other areas, whether it's internet and video and things like that. And so basically Ari Emanuel and I were running after him, and we sent him a answering machine in which we said, this is basically all your agent does is just leave messages on your answering machine and nothing comes of it. And he just got a kick out of that.
Did he sign?
No, he ended up signing with William Morris, but he left. He did leave CA at that point.
But you triggered it.
Yes. Yeah, for better or worse, yeah.
When you're an agent and you have your stable of clients, so to speak, I mean, you represented and still do as a manager now, someone like David E. Kelley, who's a giant guy in television. How important is it to have big clients, to sign more clients? And does it sometimes work against you?
It can work against you, although having big clients is never a big problem. It's really, as an agent, your resource is your time. I mean, there was one agent I worked with who I used to at Endeavor who had five clients, and he'd say to me, these five are going to be it. And I'd say, why don't you go out and sign somebody else? You know, I'm telling you, these are going to be it. It turned out to be right. Turned out to be J.J. Abrams. It turned out to be Alexander Payne and people like that. So he was right. So that worked for him.
That sounds like David Lawner.
Yes, it was David Lawner. And yeah. It worked for him and has worked beautifully for him. You tend to need to keep developing. I mean, I was always about developing clients that were coming up and, you know, and being able to recognize talent and to sort of have the next big thing.
Mm-hmm. But when you sign clients Do they want someone who they can say to their friends, well, he also represents Tom Cruise, or he also represents David E. Kelley, or you know, or
absolutely.
That's all they're looking
absolutely.
For is to name
well,
drop.
Well, not all, but a majority of people, yes. If they're at a certain level, they want to be in the same club as their friends.
Because it would seem to me like if you're spending all your time with David E. Kelley, you're probably not spending that time with me, and therefore I don't want to be with Marty Edelstein. I don't want to be with Ari Emanuel or someone like that.
Well,
I'm just a small guy starting out. I mean, I guess what I'm saying is, does it make it harder for you to sign those people who might become the next big thing?
It could be, but the truth of the matter is the bigger they are, the less time they usually take because of the first ones to get the jobs and the first ones to be employed and continually be employed, especially in the literary business. So, you know, it's usually the ones that are lower down on the chain that take more time in that. So it's sort of an inverse sort of a thing.
If you're just joining us, we're talking about the fine art of agentry with Marty Edelstein. He helped found the Endeavor Agency in 1995 and is now a producer of TV shows like Prison Break on Fox. What percent of an agency's business comes from what percent of its clients?
No, that was always my thing. I mean, when I was at Endeavor, it was clear that 10% of the clients were paying 90% of the revenue.
10%?
Yeah.
Wow. What's that like? What does it make your day like?
Well, I mean, it makes sure you've got to take care of your big clients and that, and especially now in this world, to keep the revenue where it was a couple of years ago, you have to do so many more things than you had to do before.
I would imagine another sort of headache that comes with that ratio of 10% of the clients paying for 90% of the business is that you're spending your whole day on defense, that everyone's trying to get that guy. I mean, I want what you have because what you have is hugely valuable.
Yeah. The funny thing about that is it tends to be much more in the actor business than in the writer business. You tend to have much more insecurity in that. So
actors?
Yes.
Insecure?
Yes, I know. It's hard to believe. But in the actor business, there's much more movement than the writer business. If you tend to do what needs to be done for the writer, they don't tend to leave, especially while they're hot. So it's very hard to pry loose a writer, you know, who's doing well. Although if you're at the top of the game, he may want to take that chance and go with somebody like me or somebody at that level.
Mm-hmm. I want to talk about the idea of prying someone loose and loyalty. Ben Stiller issued a press release when Nick Stevens left United Talent, his agent for many, many years. And he said, you know, I would follow Nick even if he was working out of the Sunglass Hut at the Beverly Center. Are most clients that loyal?
No, absolutely not.
So then what are the rules, or are there any rules? I mean, like, if I was nobody and you turned me into household name or big superstar with Jet or whatever the outrageous fortune would be,
right?
What do I owe you, really?
Well, it's interesting. I've always said that the worst thing in the world is to be someone's first agent.
Why?
Because it takes a long time to break somebody, and they remember the hard times in that.
You do the work, you don't get the money.
That's right. And that's just been – it's always been – I've never understood how some of these second-tier agencies survive and how they exist knowing that they're going to develop a client and then lose the client.
You represent sort of all the bitterness, all the things they went through. And now that they're successful, all that – could come back because you were there. You saw it.
Yeah. It's just a psychological thing. I've seen it happen over and over. There's 100 people walking around saying I was Larry David's first agent. I was so-and-so's first agent.
Were you Larry David's first agent?
No. No, we were Larry David's second agent, actually. It's a much better place to be.
Yeah, I was going to say $94 million or whatever he's worth now. Whose first agent were you?
David Kelly's.
Really?
Yeah.
Stayed with you?
Yeah.
Even today, you know, you're a manager.
Yeah, and he would go to the Sunglass Hut also.
Why do you think?
I think it was a rare case and where we grew together. I think a lot of times there's a problem because a client grows so quickly and the agent doesn't grow with him, doesn't grow in the sophistication that's needed to do that. And I think in this case, we were both at similar places and we grew very quickly together, and we were in sync, and I knew how he wanted his business done. I knew who he was and who he wasn't and how he wanted his business done and, you know, how he wanted people to perceive him. And I think that there were no missteps along the way, and I think he's one of the rare people that loyalty exists.
So trust and understanding go a long way. It's not just about they got me the money.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Although there are people who whoever gets me the money, that's all I care about. It's a business relationship. That's all it is. You know,
give a good interview.
Yeah. Right.
Although, you know, on a certain level, I guess that makes it easier, or it makes it clearer. Certainly, right. I mean, you know that they're sort of mercenary about it. You know, if the money comes in, he's happy, and if it doesn't, he's not. That's actually, I guess, an easier client in some respects, right?
Yeah, I think that. It's very interesting. One of the mistakes I made when I was younger is that I saw the clients as personal relationships and friends. And some did become personal relationships and friends in that. But at the end of the day, it's a business relationship. And that until you learn that it's business first and everything else comes after, you can be in a lot of pain when learning that lesson.
When was the first time you learned that lesson?
I think I was 25, there was a very hot TV director who I had basically started from being an assistant basically and got very hot. And then at that point, it was Bill Block, who was at ICM, called her and said, look, I'm going to make you a movie director.
And that was it.
That was the end. I was gone. She called me up and said, I'm leaving. And I was so devastated because I had spent so much time with her and so much, you know, energy. And I thought, oh, we're going to go to the top together, you know. And then it was just 1 minute, one phone call, and I was gone.
Wow. After a short break, more with former agent Marty Edelstein. You're listening to The Business from NPR. You're listening to The Business, and I'm Claude Brodesser-Ackner. Like the rest of the industry, the agencies are going through some changes. There's been a spate of talent agency defections in recent weeks, but the relationship between an agent and their client remains uniquely weird. We're talking about the fine art of agentry with Marty Edelstein. He left CAA to help found Endeavor in 1995, and now he's a producer of TV shows like Prison Break on Fox. Is it harder to hang on to clients who you've poached because they are, I guess, at some level amenable to being poached?
Yes. Yes. In a lot of cases, yes. Especially with actors who are later in their careers and they'll move at a moment's notice. There was a very funny situation that we were given an opportunity to sign Harrison Ford. And we were invited up to his house to meet with him. And there was a couple of my partners and myself. And we had talked about it. And we had basically said, I don't think it's the right approach to say to Harrison Ford, you need to go do, at that point, every Pulp Fiction had revitalized John Travolta. That I'm not sure, I don't think that that's what this guy wants to hear. So we drive up to his house and there's Harrison Ford sitting there. And the first thing one of my partners does is said, we think you should do a movie like Pulp Fiction. You know, do a movie like that that'll bring you back. And Harrison Ford looks at him and says, okay, I'll do it as long as they pay me my $20 million. And all the meeting was about was how he was going to get his $20 million.
What about gifts?
Michael Ovitz had a whole department when I was at CA whose job it was to find out what people liked and to send them thoughtful gifts from Michael Ovitz. So I think there was one particular director who I spoke about earlier who I signed after a long chase. You know, he loved wine and cigars. I mean, that was his passion in life. So I spent half my time trying to figure out what wines he didn't have, where I could get them, and where I could get the Cuban cigars that he liked to smoke.
Does that really make a difference in the end, or is it?
It isn't the overriding, but I think it makes a difference, especially if it's a gift that they notice and it's something they want and something that shows some thoughtfulness. Yeah, I think it does show that you're thinking of them. And it's not even the price. You know, it's a lot of times it doesn't have to do with the price. I mean, one of the greatest things I sent somebody was a handmade fly fishing rod, which is not that expensive, but they were a big fly fisherman and they were really moved by that I, you know, had found this particular handmade fishing rod.
You ever have a gift blow up in your face?
Yeah. Yes. I shouldn't even tell this story, but yes, this is a very funny story. I was trying to sign James Gandolfini and
star of The Sopranos.
Yes. And I sent somebody from Giorgio Armani, a friend of mine, to see him to offer to make a wardrobe and things like that for him. And he was so offended. He thought that I was saying that he was ill-dressed and not well-dressed in that. And he was really offended by the gesture.
How do you recover?
I never signed James Gandolfini.
You don't?
Or I think spoke to him again. I don't think he ever spoke to me again.
You got whacked.
Yeah, I did.
Speaking of funny things, I guess not that agents do, but do clients often or ever do something rash and leave an agent tempestuously, have a fight or, you know?
Yeah, I think that happens. I think with the director that I signed, let's see, he fired me 3 months later and went back to CA where he came from. And it was very funny because the agent at CA called me up and said, oh, no, I got to take him back.
Do you miss it?
There are times I miss it. What I miss is when the upfronts come in May.
This is when the networks offer their new fall schedule, right, basically, and introduce it to advertisers.
Right. The wheeling and dealing that goes on there to get one show on the air, and that I miss. What I don't miss is agents have to do so much more today than when I was an agent to stay equal. I mean, if you look at it, they're now doing deals with DirecTV and outlets that you've never heard of in that. And it's so splintered that it's twice as hard a job as when I left.
Well, we got to leave it there. Marty Edelstein is a founding partner in Endeavor, a talent agency. He's a manager now of clients like David E. Kelly, but mostly he's a television producer of shows like Prison Break on Fox. Marty, thanks for being on The Business.
Thanks, Claude.
Here's a little more about that special agent-client relationship from writer-producer Rob Long.
A few years ago, a friend of mine tried to fire his agent. It didn't go well. After a long, wearying phone call in which the agent tried everything in his bag of tricks, you know, you owe me, or this is wrong, or I screwed up, I know, or give me one more chance, or this is a bad career move, my friend finally agreed to the thing he had been dreading, the thing that every single one of his writer friends told him under no circumstances to agree to. He agreed to a meeting. So there he was a few hours later in a conference room of a sleek building in Beverly Hills, surrounded by agents, his agent, other agents, and they were cupcakes. You know, they turned it into a thing. And in the end, after all of the we love yous and the you are important to uses and the cupcakes, he agreed to stay put. Now, my theory is all he really wanted were the cupcakes. Now, that was, as I said, a few years ago, back when the business was flush and fat and clients like my friend, who I'm pretty sure was a real pain in the butt, high maintenance kind of client, a daily caller, a needy, what offer do I have today kind of client. Well, he was worth keeping, worth fighting for, because business was booming, because you could park him in a rich multi-year studio deal and 10% of that was worth suffering through a little daily whining. As an agent friend of mine told me in an unguarded moment was his philosophy about clients, you don't have to be friends with them. You just have to think that they'll be good earners, like pigs or dairy cows. Back then, if you wanted to leave your agent, you had to prepare yourself for the meeting, for the big sequestration in the conference room with the cupcakes and the PowerPoint. But you had to stick to your guns. You had to be willing to endure the painful, awkward, bad feeling in the air as you left the conference room, waited for the parking validation stickers, headed down to parking, and drove out into the sunshine. But then, more cupcakes. See, every agency in town would start to court you. It'd be all smiles and conference rooms up and down Wilshire Boulevard, as other agents in different offices made the same calculation that your previous agent did. He's a jerk, and he'll call me all the time, but he's an earner. And they'd promise you a bigger career, more access, more opportunities. If you were in TV, they'd say, want to be in features? We can make that happen. If you were in movies, they'd say, want to direct? We can make that happen. To everything, it was, we can make that happen. Well, as I said, that was then. I know a writer, fairly well known, a good little earner, who made the rounds of the agencies very recently. Now, when he called his agent to give him the news that he was leaving, he girded himself for the conversation. Just get it out, he said to himself. Just say it and move on. Don't let them get you into the conference room. Just keep it short and to the point. So when his agent came on the line, he had his speech down. It was short, professional, generous, composed. He paused, waited for the inevitable. Yeah, his agent said, I kind of see your point. Oh, well, great. And then, when he went on the rounds of the other agencies, meeting agents who a few years ago would have staged elaborate conference room love fests, who would have produced on-the-floor Lakers tickets or first-edition books or back rubs and fancy pens, he found instead a couple of grim-faced guys in suits telling him about the contractions in the business, telling him, want to be in features? We probably can't make that happen. Want to direct? We probably can't make that happen. And you've got some money in the bank, right? Because there's, like, no work out there right now. And it turns out that the happiest agent he talked to all day was the one he just fired. And, of course, nobody gave him a cupcake. He had to buy his own, which he ate in his car. See, times have changed. The cupcakes don't lie.
Rob Long is a writer and producer working in Hollywood. And that's The Business. Matt Holzman produced and edited today's program with production assistance from Ray Guarna. Our associate producer is Darby Maloney. You can listen to this or any past program online anytime at kcrw.com/thebusiness. You can also podcast the show on KCRW's site or through iTunes. Our email address is thebusiness@kcrw.org. The Business is produced by KCRW Santa Monica and distributed by National Public Radio. I'm Club Professor Ackner. We'll see you next week on The Business.